All right, let's go out to Pittsburgh from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Let's welcome to the show Josh Yohe. Josh, how you doing tonight, big guy?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'd assume you've been very busy taking a lot of calls from different people wondering about the fallout from Saturday's Royal Rumble between the Pittsburgh and the Boston Bruins. I guess your thought, let's start first with the James Neal knee. Five-game suspension, reasonable number?
Yeah, first of all, this is not my first radio show today. In fact, you are correct.
I'd assume and, you've been very busy, yeah.
You know, Neal got 5 games, of course, and the prevailing sentiment around here is that, frankly, he probably deserves even more. And I can tell you that even people in the Penguins organization are not real happy with him right now. This is the third time in his career that he's been suspended. And he's only 26 years old. Yeah. And that's I'm not saying he's the latter-day Matt Cook or anything, but it's, frankly, a pretty disturbing trend. And what he did Saturday, you know what, there's no place for it in the game. I know Brad Marchand, trust me, is not a real popular guy in the Penguins locker room, but I don't care who it was. You just can't do something like that.
I'm not going to lie to you here, Josh. I played against him. I never really saw this edge that he's been brought, or this anger, I guess, whatever you want to call it, this different way of playing hockey when I played against him. Has this just developed since he's gone to Pittsburgh, or what's going on there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he's a dirty hockey player in general, but it just seems like whenever emotions get the best of him, he's a guy who can be agitated. If you look at his career, there have been 3 times now that he's been suspended and 1 time that he's been fined. And the 4 players that he attacked were P.K. Subban, Brad Marchand, Claude Giroux, the guy who gets under the Penguins skin a lot, and Derek Dorsett. So all pretty agitating guys, and for whatever reason, they've gotten under his skin to the point where he's just, you know, done something really dumb on the ice. And then, unfortunately, we saw it again, and things even intensified, of course, in Boston after that incident.
Talk about Brooks Orpik. Obviously, it sounds like he was able to travel home with the team. Do you have an update on where he's at after being knocked out on the ice by Sean Thornton?
Yeah, he does have a concussion, which is pretty obvious, I guess. Yeah. And Dan Bylsma said today that Orpik was unconscious for more than 30 seconds on the ice, which is obviously pretty scary and explains why there was so much medical personnel on the ice immediately after the hit. He's obviously not playing tonight against Columbus. Concussions are impossible to predict. We saw Sidney Crosby only play 8 games in a 15-month span because of them. Orpik, that said, Orpik could be back in a week or two, and that wouldn't surprise me. And all reports on him are that he is feeling much better today, so obviously that's good news.
Pascal Dupuis does his best lumberjack impression on the young man Kelly for the Boston Bruins. How does he escape suspension?
It's a fair question. I mean, listen, Dupuis is a guy who's definitely not a dirty hockey player.
Sure.
I don't think he was trying to break Chris Kelly's ankle, which of course is what happened, but maybe that shouldn't matter. I mean, I actually contacted the NHL last night just to see if there was going to be any discipline handed down or if he was having a hearing of any kind. And as of last night, I was told no, he was not. And I've seen worse slashes, but the fact of the matter is he chopped the guy in the leg and broke his ankle. I don't know. The league just seems so inconsistent to me when we see stuff like this. And like I said, Dupuis is one of my favorite guys on the team. He's a good guy. I don't think he's a dirty player at all, but he broke a guy's ankle. And you would think there should be some kind of repercussions from that.
There's no doubt it was a big surprise when that didn't come down. We're talking with Josh Yohe from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Josh, let's talk about some hockey actually now. Chris Letang.
Nice.
We all know what happened. It'll sort out. I guess Chris Letang, about half a point a game. I've watched a couple of games. He doesn't seem to be that dynamic puck-moving guy that we saw last year. Is there something going on with Letang? He's got a nagging injury, or where is Chris Letang at this year?
Boy, there's a question. Well, 2 things with Chris. He missed the first 2 games of the year because of a knee injury that was sustained during training camp. And I've watched him enough to know that I still don't think he's 100%. You said it. The last few years, I mean, this is an explosive player who always makes the first guy miss and just has these bursts of speed that are so impressive. I have not seen any of that this year. And that tells me his knee is not 100%. And in fact, he mentioned last week when we were talking with him that he still doesn't feel right. So, yes, he's not 100%. But that said, he is just making so many mistakes with the puck. I mean, for all that he's one of the most – I think he's as physically gifted as any defenseman in the league. I really believe that. But he is just making mental blunder after mental blunder. He's just a turnover machine right now. he's just trying to force things way too much. And when you're playing with Crosby and Malkin and when you have all the talent that Letang has, you really shouldn't have to force things. That's what he's doing right now.
You know, I wonder if it's when you don't feel like your legs can maybe move, as it maybe sounds like he's still not quite 100%. He's trying to do it more with his hands and his head. Is it overcomplicating what should be actually quite an easy role for a guy that really has good hands in the first place?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he's probably overcompensating, perhaps because he doesn't feel 100%. I think that's a possibility, and he's just putting so much pressure on himself. You know, he just signed a huge contract this summer, mm-hmm. and I can tell you that. It would mean the world to him to make the Canadian Olympic roster, and he is certainly concerned that he's not going to. In fact, I think that you guys would know better than I would up in Canada, but I bet there's a good chance he won't be on that team, especially the way he's playing right now. And that's just going to drive him nuts, because I know it's in his mind at all times, even though he doesn't really like to acknowledge it.
Well, it's a big honor to get on that team, and it's going to be very tough for him to make that team. Let's talk about a guy. Well, we know Sidney Crosby is going to be there. It doesn't matter how he plays, but his winger, Chris Kunitz, he's having a good year. And explain to us, a lot of people aren't familiar with this player. Why should Chris Kunitz make Team Canada? What does he do so well?
Well, Sidney Crosby has played the best hockey of his life with Chris Kunitz by his side. And I can tell you that for all that Crosby is unquestionably the greatest hockey player in the world, he's not like Gretzky or Lemieux in that he can make any winger better. He's very particular about the kind of guys he plays with. He does not like playing with east-west players. He's not comfortable with them. He likes straight-line guys who just barge right to the net. Let me tell you, that's exactly what Chris Kunitz does. And Kunitz might not be the most skilled guy. I know if you put together, you know, 12 or 14 forwards for that Canadian team, you could certainly find more naturally gifted players than Chris Kunitz. But the fact of the matter is, he's on pace to score 45 goals this year, and it's the third year in a row that he's been on that pace. And he brings out the best in Crosby, and Crosby wants him there. I know that for a fact. And so if I were Steve Yzerman, I wouldn't hesitate in asking Sidney Crosby if he wanted Chris Kunitz there, and I'm quite certain Crosby would say yes.
Is it crazy, though? I mean, no disrespect to Chris Kunitz, but there are so many great Canadian wingers to think that we're going to put, or not we're, but I guess when we're talking Canada, we're going to put Chris Kunitz on the wing with the greatest player in the world in the biggest tournament in the world?
Oh, I understand that. I do. I mean, listen, is Rick Nash more gifted? Well, of course he is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the names. They're there left and right. But,
sure.
You know, you can certainly make the argument that chemistry plays a big role in these two-week tournaments. And, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to make it or not. I think it's a really fascinating question, actually. But I know Crosby wants him there. I know Crosby just has such of a comfort level with him. He just feels like he has more freedom to be Sidney Crosby on the ice because he always knows where Chris Kunitz is going to be. So I don't know. I'm quite interested to see what Team Canada does. I really am.
Well, I'll tell you what, Josh, I'm all for it. I say if Crosby wants him there, you put him in there. I've thought that for a long time. You got to have instant chemistry. You have those two. Then you got Getzlaff, Perry. You have the makings of two already very solid lines, even if you only play two guys at once, because they can both play hockey on both those lines. Josh Elliott joined us from Pittsburgh, talking Pittsburgh Penguins hockey. You know I love talking about D-men, Josh. And Matt Niskanen is a guy, for me, when I see him play, very steady out there for the Penguins. Is he almost that, I guess, is he the defensive anchor or the defensive person that they count so much on with the Penguins?
Yeah, he is, especially in the last week or two. I mean, this guy has just been terrific. The Penguins have a lot of defensemen out of the lineup right now, a lot of important ones, and Paul Martin, Rob Scuderi, and Brooks Orpik. And those are three guys who eat a ton of minutes. And Niskanen has filled in. I mean, he just can do everything. He's a right-handed guy who actually prefers to play on the left side, which can be awfully handy. He can play on the power play. He's not Chris Letang or Paul Martin, maybe, but he's pretty good there. And he's just a wonderful skater. There's just no real weakness in this guy's game. And he was a first-round pick a few years ago by Dallas for a reason. They saw that talent. And, you know, he's not ever going to be a star in this league. But is he a legitimate top four NHL defenseman right now? Absolutely he is.
He's a very, very playing very well. Marc-Andre Fleury, we all know his regular season record is quite strong, and he's had some issues in the playoffs the last couple years. I guess if you're Dan Bylsma, are you looking for signs that it's different this time?
Well, they don't have much choice right now.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Vokoun is out with a blood clot condition, and I don't think Vokoun's ever going to play again, and I certainly don't think he's going to play again this season. Mm-hmm. And the Penguins' backup right now is a guy named Jeff Zachoff, who's done a nice job, but he's really got no NHL experience at all. So unless Ray Shiro gives Dan Bylsma a different goaltender, you better believe he's going to ride Fleury all the way. And I don't know. I think goalies are a really difficult thing for head coaches to assess. I don't know how much coaching goes on there or how much even observation goes on, but I think everybody in the organization will tell you that Fleury is a different person this season. There's just a new sense of maturity and seriousness about him. I think he knows this is a crossroads year for him with the Penguins. If he leads the Penguins to a Stanley Cup this spring or to a deep playoff run, he might get rewarded with a huge contract extension. He only has 1 year left on his deal after this season. But if he implodes in the playoffs again, there's no way he comes back here next year.
We are with Josh Owey from Pittsburgh Review. One more question for you, Josh. We're about almost halfway. We're getting near the halfway mark of the NHL season. Outside of maybe a backup goaltender, is there an area of concern if you're watching this team that you think they might have to address coming up on the trade deadline?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's the bottom six, especially the third line. Brandon Sutter is a perfectly fine third line center. They really don't have anyone to play with for him on the wings. Matt Cook is very much missed here in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
I think Tyler Kennedy's even missed a little bit, to be honest with you. The wing situation in the bottom six just isn't good. And when you see the Penguins play against a team like Boston the other night, now, the Penguins' top two lines are better than the Bruins' top two lines, in my opinion, but the Bruins are still so good with the third and fourth lines that it's a huge advantage for them against the Penguins. I do believe those are the two best teams in the East, and I think they'll meet again in the conference final this season, and the result will be the same if the Penguins don't make an upgrade in the bottom six. And knowing Ray Shiro, I'm sure they will. He's not shy when it comes to making deals around the deadline.
He's done some great deals. He always sneaks up on people. Josh, thank you for doing your 10th interview of the day talking about this big stuff. We'll talk to you again soon, sir, and have a great day.
All right, anytime.